Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Brief History of Thailand, Monarchy, War, and Resilience. The Fascinating Story of the Gilded Kingdom at the Heart of Asia. By Richard A. Ruth. Narrated by Anne James. Publisher's note. This audiobook may refer to visual elements included in the print and ebook editions of the book. Introduction. The Cultural Foundations of Modern Thailand. Thailand, or Prathet Thai in the Thai language, means the land of the Thai people. To many Westerners, Thailand is most immediately associated with a set of spicy, sweet dishes served in the many thousands of Thai restaurants that now enrich the collective palate of our cities and towns. It is difficult to find a sizable town in North America, the United Kingdom, or Australia that does not have at least one Thai restaurant. But the predictable menu options, green curry, gankyawan, pad Thai noodles, masaman curry, and somtam papaya salad, are misleading in their seeming authenticity and uniformity. In reality, the pad Thai noodle dish is a Thai variation of a Chinese noodle dish. The masaman curry is a contribution of ethnic Malays from the Muslim areas of Thailand's south. And the somtam salad, which many consider to be the quintessential Thai dish, is a contribution of the ethnic Lao from Thailand's northeast. Even the desserts, the wonderfully eggy coconut custards that you find in better Thai restaurants, can be traced to Portuguese residents of Siam in the 16th and 17th centuries. The green curry might be the most authentically Thai dish, but was developed from the spices and vegetables that entered Thailand from other places. Perhaps only the wonderfully aromatic kahom malit, or jasmine rice, is authentically Thai. But it, too, owes its development to strains of rice drawn from neighboring Cambodia, Laos, and other areas of mainland Southeast Asia. Thailand itself, like the familiar restaurant menu, is an amalgamation of many cultures, ethnicities, belief systems, and traditions from all over Asia, and indeed from all over the world. Many of the things that we identify now as Thai are only Thai in the modern sense of national culture. Thailand was and is more than the land of the Thais. It is an enormously diverse and multifaceted country whose people and culture have been drawn from throughout Southeast Asia, as well as from East and South Asia. The Chinese, Lao, Muslim, and even Frang, Caucasian or white cultural elements that we see in those restaurant menus, all play an important part in Thailand's history, including the political and cultural changes examined in this book. This is especially true for Thailand's capital, known to the world as Bangkok. The culture of the capital and its historical actors and agents that we identify simply as Thai are really much more than that. Like Bangkok, they are diverse, complex, cosmopolitan, and dynamic. Outside influences on Thailand's history and culture. Thailand is a tropical country in mainland Southeast Asia. It abuts Myanmar, Burma, for much of its western border. To the north and northeast, Thailand is separated from Laos, mostly by the Mekong River. To the east, Thailand borders Cambodia. The deep south of Thailand shares a border with Malaysia. All these Southeast Asian nations, in both their pre-modern and colonial configurations, played important roles in Thailand's history. The people of these surrounding countries, the ethnicities and cultures with which they are identified, have also contributed to what we now accept as Thai culture. Missing from this list is China, which, except for a brief period during World War II, has not shared a land border with the nation of Thailand or its pre-modern predecessors. However, China has contributed much to Thailand. Chinese people of various ethnicities came to Thailand in large numbers over the last 300 years to trade and work. Many returned to China if they could, but others chose to settle in Siam, later Thailand, and to make their lives as contributors to the evolving culture. A significant proportion of Thailand's population, especially in urban areas, have Chinese ancestors. The Chinese are an important part of Thailand's history and culture. And it is important to keep in mind that they are not an alien other who can be held in contrast to an indigenous and legitimate Thai citizen. Thailand's ethnic Chinese assimilated more successfully than they did almost anywhere else in Southeast Asia. To be Thai today, one must acknowledge that you could be part Chinese, just as you could be part Khmer, or Lao, or Burmese, or Malay, or any of the upland peoples who make up Thailand's multi-ethnic, multicultural human tableau. Today, there are also many Thais who are part Phrang, hailing from the countries of Europe, North America, or Australia. Thus, to be Thai means you could claim heritage with many different cultures. The Thai people. The Thai, T-H-A-I people, belong to a larger ethno-linguistic category called the Thai, T-A-I, who live in an area stretching from China's far southern tip to deep inside mainland Southeast Asia. Among the peoples in this Thai category are the Thai of central Thailand, the Lao of Laos, the Shan of eastern Burma, the Black Thai of northwestern Vietnam, and the Zhuang of China. Within Thailand itself, there are the Lanna Thai of the north, the Isan Thai of the northeast, and others. All Thai people share common elements of their language and culture. But that does not necessarily mean that they can communicate easily with one another. A Thai person born in Ayutthaya, for example, might only understand roughly half or less of what a Lao from Vientiane is telling her. That same Thai person, if she were to travel to the southern parts of Yunnan province in China and meet some of the Thai people living in Sipsong Pana, Shishuang Pana, would understand even less of the local Thai language, which sounds more like Northern Thai or Lao. There are great variances in Thai cultures, even as we recognize that there are important similarities. For now, it is good enough to know that scholars recognize Thai as a broad cultural category of peoples across mainland Southeast Asia, and Thai is a subset of that category. The label Thai, T-H-A-I, in the political sense, refers to a citizen of Thailand, a nation with a significant population of non-Thai peoples, including Chinese, Khmer, Vietnamese, Malays, and all the so-called hill tribes, or upland peoples, such as the Hmong, Lisu, Lahu, Akha, and others. Care must be taken when talking about Thai as a nationality, as a cultural identity, and as a language. Nearly all Thailand's citizens speak Thai, or Central Thai, Pasak Lang, as the national language. But many do not speak it as their first language. They may have grown up speaking Lao, Khmer, Malay, Chuzhou, Hmong, or another language at home. But since the Thai government's implementation of a national school system in the early 20th century, a process that intensified after World War II, all non-Thais in Thailand have learned Central Thai at school and use it to communicate in official correspondence, even if they do not speak it at home. Thailand is a monsoon-influenced country. Its agricultural cycles and related traditions are guided by the massive amount of rain that falls from about the middle of April to early November. Thailand is thus well-suited for growing what has become its principal export, rice. Today, Thailand is the world's leading exporter of rice, and its varieties of rice, especially the earlier mentioned Khao Mali, are prized everywhere for their aromatic qualities and delicious taste. Likewise, the sheer amount of water that falls on Thailand and flows down its many rivers has necessitated the development of a sophisticated hydrological culture. In the past, Siam, as Thailand was known before 1939, was famous for its number of irrigation, drainage, and communication canals crisscrossing the country. People traveled on canals and rivers far more than they did on roads. Bangkok, which was not connected to the rest of the country by an all-weather road until the 20th century, was known to Westerners as the Venice of the East because of its reliance on canals. Some Thai long-tail boats, Rua Hang Yao, still zip up and down Bangkok's remaining canals and riverways as public transportation and delivery vessels. And while most of the old transportation canals have been filled in and the reliance on canals largely diminished, you only need to visit Bangkok during the rainy season to see that the old water routes have not forgotten their former abodes. When it rains heavily, the water lays itself over the cityscape, and many of the old canal patterns will reappear over the roads as swelling water finds its way back to its old locations. Arrival of the Thai people. Rice has always been Thailand's most important crop. The people of the valleys, especially in the Chao Phraya Valley in central Thailand, grew wet rice. These rice farmers built their houses on stilts to keep them above flood stage and to provide protection against noxious pests, such as scorpions and snakes, as well as dangerous predators like tigers and bears. To assist them in their rice cultivation, these farmers used domesticated water buffalo to plow their fields. Rice remains an economic, culinary, and cultural staple of Thailand. Thais call white rice khao suoi, literally beautiful rice, because the pearly white polish now possible through modern milling, the method for doing this was incidentally developed in Thailand. The people of Thailand's northeast grow and consume khao niao, or sticky rice, as their staple crop. Also called glutinous rice, it is the wonderfully gummy rice that you can easily press into a ball and dip into the food you're eating. Although all of Thailand eats khao niao in greater and lesser amounts, it is associated chiefly with Lao-speaking peoples. In the past, the upland peoples, the Chao Khao, often pursued slash-and-burn rice cultivation. They would burn off the forest layer to create a swidden and let the rain showers provide the water for their rice cultivation. Today, the Thai government has largely ended this rice-growing strategy, although it is a reminder of the fundamentally different cultures between lowland people who settled in the river valleys and the mobile upland peoples who lived in the hills and mountains. This important division is often obscured by the distorting and deceptive flatness of most political maps. More so than north and south, upland and valley have determined cultural and social patterns in Thailand, just as they have in most areas of mainland Southeast Asia. There have always been people in Thailand. Thai paleontologists have found evidence of human ancestors in the mountains that separated Burma from Thailand that could date back hundreds of thousands of years to the period of prehistory that paleontologists associate with the hominid remains known as Java Man and Peking Man. In terms of the far more recent Homo sapiens, there is evidence of a Bronze Age culture dating from about 4000 BC. The most famous is found at Ban Chiang in the northeastern province of Udon Thani. It is not clear when Thai people arrived on the scene. The Thai people of Thailand trace their origins to what is now southern China, to Yunnan province, and then made their way down from the Yunnanese hills from probably around the 7th century AD. They settled into an area already inhabited by people in the Mon Khmer language group and were absorbed into these Mon Khmer civilizations. One common explanation of why the Thai people moved into Southeast Asia is that expanding Han Chinese populations pushed these Thai people further south. The Mongol invasions of the 14th century may have accelerated the process. These southward-moving Thai groups, who chose to seek out new territory, were probably guided by a charismatic leader, a man of prowess, to use historian Oliver Walter's memorable phrase. It is likely that capable and charismatic women also helped hold the groups together and solve the problems that arose. They were not refugees or explorers. They were more akin to pioneers who sought less contested river valleys where they could grow rice and raise vegetables. They were not fleeing their Thai homelands as much as expanding the Thai universe. These Thai people did not have a written language. They are relatively late adopters of written languages in Asia. They relied instead on an oral tradition to convey their ideas. These early Thais had their own spiritual beliefs, adherence to what is often and imprecisely called animism, the belief that spirits inhabit all natural objects. They believed in pi, ghosts or spirits, both beneficial and malevolent, and quan, which might be translated as a spirit, psyche, or soul stuff. The pi were natural spirits that reside in trees and rocks and plants, as well as the spirits of their deceased ancestors. Thai people of old believed that all actions in the visible world could be influenced by the conduct of these invisible spirits interacting around them. Thais today still embrace pi and quan as important elements in their daily life and acknowledge the presence of an individual soul called a winyan that endures after death. Many farmers stop to acknowledge the pi in the rice and the water before harvesting their crops, pressing their hands together, bowing their heads, and asking for permission to cut the plants. Nearly every home in both rural and urban areas has a samprapum, a shrine shaped like a house or palace, dedicated to the guardian spirit of the land. These shrines, called spirit houses in English, are the dwelling sites of earth spirits and other pi. Located outside human homes, the shrines, sitting atop brightly colored pillars or multi-posted platforms, are placed carefully according to the recommendation of a Brahmin priest. The human owners fill them with quaint statuettes to represent the earth spirits and their departed ancestors. They also provide figures of musicians, dancers, and animal companions to keep them amused. There will almost always be a statuette of Prat Thaimongkorn, the guardian of the land, holding a dagger and a bag of silver. People offer food, soft drinks, and incense to the shrines each day. The care paid to these shrines is evidence of the enduring importance of pi in everyday life. As the ancient Thai peoples came south, they entered into a territory inhabited mainly by those of the Mon Khmer ethno-linguistic group. The Mon still live in southern Myanmar, while the Khmer are the main ethnic group of Cambodia. These two groups occupied what is now the marshy floodplains of the southern part of central Thailand. As the Thai people came south over hundreds of years, they mixed with the Mon Khmer inhabitants, absorbing language and cultural elements from them, even as they nudged some communities ever slowly east and west, and eventually off the Chao Phraya Valley into Burma and Cambodia. The adoption of Buddhism. Among the most important things the Thai picked up from these groups were more universal, less esoteric belief systems, best described as a Hindu-Buddhist cosmology or worldview. They would have come across representations of Brahmanism, commonly referred to as Hinduism, and other systems from South Asia. The Thais learned how these groups practiced Buddhism. Multiple forms of Buddhism, specifically Mahayana Buddhism, such as that practiced in China and other parts of East Asia, had been in Burma and Cambodia for hundreds of years before the Thais arrived. Buddhism was one of the many belief systems embraced, sponsored, or presided over by the kings of Bagan, pagan, in Burma. Later, they adopted the principles and practices of Theravada Buddhism, the wisdom of the elders. First from a small group of Mon practitioners in southern Burma, and then later from monks who practiced it in Sri Lanka. Theravada is often described as a purer or less adorned practice of Buddhism. Adherents to Theravada Buddhism try hard to follow what they believe are the Buddha's original teachings. They stress good conduct and merit-making that will advance one's chances of salvation and rebirth into a better life. Thais harbor a notion of karma that offers explanations for the difficulties and rewards in life. They tend to believe that present suffering is the result of bad behavior in a previous life, while correspondingly, good behavior in this life will lead to a better life in future incarnations. Theravada Buddhists do not emphasize the role of bodhisattvas, the magical Buddhas-in-waiting revered in Mahayana Buddhism, and generally reject the richly mystical Buddhist schools that flourished in China, Japan, Korea, and Vietnam. Theravada Buddhism is practiced by nearly all Thailand's Buddhists today. Buddhism has always been the center of Thai society. Until recently, all Buddhist temple complexes, wat, were the heart of village life. Even the simple structures of old were the principal gathering places for important events of every community. The monks, who came from the households and families that surrounded the wat, were the teachers of that village. In addition to explaining the precepts of Buddhism and teaching newly ordained monks how to behave, they also provided nearly all of what we would now regard as secular education. They taught all males how to read and write, sometimes in several languages, as well as logic, rhetoric, and public speaking. They also taught medicine and its related discipline of massage and boxing and other forms of self-defense. Some taught saisat, the esoteric practices sometimes called black magic, that includes love potions, invulnerability spells, and protective amulets. All males usually spent some time as monks. Beyond the normal schooling that boys received from monks, they were expected to don robes twice in their youth, many spending time as novices, nin, at around age 7, and as they approached the age for marriage at around 20, returning to the wat as monks. Young men who did not spend time in a Buddhist wat were regarded as not being fully tempered or fully civilized, and therefore not fully trustworthy to take up leadership roles in the community. It could be a period of a year or more. More commonly, especially in recent times, it lasted the length of one rainy season, or it could be for as short as a week or even a night if the young man could not afford the time away from his job or family responsibilities. Women played less codified roles in a temple's activities, but they contributed vital services as devotees and organizers of the ceremonies and activities that occurred within the grounds of a temple. Buddhism was, and still is, enormously important to Thailand. This cannot be overstated. Conversely, the Thais wholeheartedly embrace a dynamic belief system that combines a broad spectrum of notions that go far beyond Buddhism. Many Thais are amazingly pragmatic when it comes to adopting spiritual principles that support or complement their own. A visitor to a Thai market, such as the famed Chatuchak weekend market in Bangkok, will find scores of devotional objects, icons, and texts from numerous religious traditions from all over the world. All of them play a role in the rich syncretic tradition that endures in Thai people's lives today. Not Indochina. It is tempting to call this corner of the world Indochina and believe that Thai culture is indebted to India and China because the Thai people came out of southern China and came in contact with belief systems and cultures from India. But Thailand's traditional culture is not the product of borrowings from India and China. The Thai people adopted those elements that matched or harmonized with elements of their indigenous belief systems, that they worshipped and still revere the Hindu gods Shiva, Vishnu, Indra, Brahma, Rama, and others, means that they most likely matched these Indic forms to deities or expressions of cosmological power that already existed long before they encountered the Indic borrowings in the Mon Khmer cultures. The import of Indic Buddhism into Southeast Asia strengthened the connection between existing spiritual beliefs and their manifestation as Indic divinities. The appearance of the elephant god Ganesh in a Bangkok shopping mall is probably more from Thais projecting existing beliefs into a familiar global icon than it is from any outright appropriation of a foreign god. The Thais did not absorb Indic culture uncritically. They took what was useful, what was comfortable, and what helped amplify or refine what they already believed. They adopted Brahmanic court rituals, the Indian epic Ramayana, which Thais call Ramakien, and celebrations of natural cycles, like the Loy Krathong festival, in which they cast out small floats made of banana leaves with candles and coins on them to express gratitude for the monsoon rains that have fed their crops through the growing season. These expressions they adapted from Indian practices, but they did not take everything. Importantly, they did not take the caste system. Thailand's society was a hierarchical structure throughout most of its modern history, and it largely remains that way today. But it is not a caste-based system with all of the prohibitions regarding occupations and spiritual pollution that are part of India's caste system. Thais rejected these ideas. They also did not take purdah, the practice of sequestering women, from India. To the contrary, women were more visible and engaged in public enterprises, such as conducting business, handling money, and doing hard manual labor, than they were in nearly any other country in Asia or the West throughout the pre-modern era and into modern times. It can also be argued that women were valued in Thai culture more so than their counterparts in India or the West. Unmarried women in many Thai cultures had the latitude to initiate romantic and sexual relationships before settling down to start a family. And it was common for the groom's family to pay a bride price to the bride's family ahead of a marriage in which the groom was expected to leave his family and move in with his wife's family. Many of these matrilocal practices survive. It is important not to overstate the rights that women have had in Thailand society. Women have generally been blocked from playing prominent roles in Thailand's national political arena in the modern era. With the exception of a few queens and princesses, whose influence was largely funneled through their husbands, or who operated beyond the public view, Thailand's male-dominated political culture has not allowed women leaders to emerge. Some Thai women rose to prominence as writers and activists in the modern period, but there have been no Thai equivalents for the female queens and prime ministers in other countries. It was not until the 21st century, in August 2011, that Thailand had its first female prime minister. Even then, it can be argued that Yingluck Shinawat rose as a proxy for her deposed older brother rather than a power in her own right. Gender equality in politics is an area where Thailand has lagged behind many countries in the modern era. Emergence of powerful Thai kingdoms. The earliest Thai kingdoms to exert power over large sections of mainland Southeast Asia did not emerge until the 12th and 13th centuries. The first was Sukhothai, located in what is now the northern section of central Thailand. It dominated the affairs of the surrounding Thai city-states until the beginning of the 15th century. The other important Thai state to emerge was Ayutthaya, located farther south than Sukhothai, and about 40 miles north of Bangkok. It became the dominant power in large sections of mainland Southeast Asia in a 400-year period that stretched from the 14th to the 18th century. Since the early 20th century, students in Thai schools have been taught that Thailand's history can be traced as a neat linear descent from Sukhothai to Ayutthaya to Bangkok in a kind of southerly advance, with each state being the logical historical successor of the previous one. This is oversimplified and misleading, because it ignores the complex and multi-layered relationships between dozens, if not hundreds, of kingdoms, principalities, city-states, chiefdoms, and smaller political units that existed in the pre-modern era, all of which had an influence on the development of the state that would become Thailand. Recounting Thailand's modern history. There is no standard narrative for Thailand's modern history. Some scholars have looked at kingship and civilian and military governance, with all the actors coming from the ruling classes of Bangkok. Others have focused on economic history to tell the story of the lives of the common people who make their living in agricultural pursuits in the rural areas of Thailand's provinces. Yet others have favored foreign relations, or focused on culture. There is no single approach that will satisfy all opinions.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?